roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I am your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the Devious and Dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host, coming at you on a Sunday, May 24th, during Memorial Day weekend. What's up, Goz?
What up, homes?
Not much. Doesn't feel like a holiday weekend, just feels like a weekend. And weekends, almost every day feels like a weekend.
Yeah, this one was a little odd. The way we spaced out interviews and stuff, we had some to do over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we did some Triple G stuff as well. So we've been keeping busy here. But Memorial Day comes up. We got our spinning back click tomorrow. But it doesn't mean that we have to put everyone through working. So we thought we'd do a show tonight. That way our boy Gabe, who edits, gets to edit it and sleep in tomorrow. We're good guys. What do you want from us?
Now where we're at, it's still Sunday. It's Memorial Day weekend Sunday. On the East Coast, it's technically Memorial Day. And honestly, there's people that, there's Americans all over the world where it may already be Memorial Day. So we definitely want to honor the men and women who have died serving in the U.S. military. That is what Memorial Day is, basically. You know, there's Armed Forces Day, and there are different days throughout the year where we honor, like veterans, where we honor those that are currently with us. And Memorial Day is a little bit different. So, again, many men and women have died protecting this country. So we honor them. And we're going to try and have a great show today as we preview the upcoming UFC card that's going to take place here in Las Vegas. It is UFC on ESPN 9, I believe is what they're calling it. Woodley versus Burns. You really have to check MMA Junkie constantly because it's either part of the Plus series or an ESPN. They really move it around a lot. They move around the dates. They move around the locations. But we think we got it all dialed in for you, and we're going to do a little breakdown. So buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a late Sunday, May 24th.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so I headed towards the schedule tab, and it is, in fact, UFC on ESPN 9. You know, the ESPN series don't happen as often when you're not in a pandemic. They're similar to the big Fox shows. It was like four a year. And I think ESPN was going to do something similar, but ESPN's challenged as well in terms of actual live sporting events. So I think they're like telling the UFC, bring it. You know what I mean? So Woodley versus Burns, I believe, is going to be an ESPN offering. And I'm talking about from the 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern liftoff of Chris Gutierrez versus Vince Morales all the way till the main card. ESPN and ESPN Plus both will work. The main card goes off at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So again, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific for the prelims. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for the main card. I'll give you the fights on the prelims real quick, Goes, and if there's just something you want to say, go ahead. I think most of what we're going to talk about will be featured on the main card, but we have Chris Gutierrez versus Vince Morales, Casey Kenny versus Luis Smolka, Tim Elliott versus Brandon Royval, Clinton Abreu versus Jamahal Hill, Billy Quarantillo versus Spike Carlisle, Caitlin Chukagian versus Antonina Shevchenko. Remember, she fought Valentina Shevchenko recently. Mm-hmm. Didn't go too well for her, but now she gets to fight the sister. What jumps out of you there?
How do you not be a pro fighter with the name Spike Carlisle? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Slipping. But if you look at Luis Smolka and Tim Elliott, those are two guys that have been through some things in life. And as far as their fighting career goes, it's probably more towards the down part. But they're two really good guys that I'd like to see continue being with the UFC. It'd be great to see them get wins.
When you say they've been through some things, are you talking about they like to have a drink at times?
For Smolka, yeah. And then for Elliott
too.
Probably, I wouldn't doubt it. But
they've both been pretty open about it, and I'm not against that. I had drinks today. However, it would be nice if as they close their careers, and we're not saying, hey, look, they might retire on Saturday, but as they look to start winding down, mm-hmm. I know Smoke has been pretty open about not boozing for a while. Like he's dried up. Now, we haven't caught up with him recently, but I would advise if both can do it just till the end of their career, then maybe perhaps they'll either kick it altogether or at least just finish strong and be able to look themselves in the mirror and know that they were the best they could have been.
Yeah, I know quite a few people that, surprisingly, I know people that have never taken a drink in their life. Richard Hunter is one of them.
And Charles Sonnen, so he hasn't either.
But have you noticed, like, those tend to almost be, like, some of the most happiest people you'll ever meet? Sometimes I wonder if there's something to that. But yeah, I like both these guys, man. I like the way they fight. They just don't always pull out the victories when they need them. And they're good guys. I hope good things do happen for them.
On the main card, it's Hannah Siffers versus Mackenzie Dern. Roosevelt Roberts versus Brock Weaver, Kevin Holland versus Daniel Rodriguez, Blagoy Ivanov versus Augusto Sakai, Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. So I think that's pretty similar to what we were talking about last week. We may not have been able to divide the main card and the prelims just yet, but that's how we're seeing it. That's how we're hearing it. And is that the best card I've ever seen? No. But these are simple fight nights with a great main event. And if you have a great main event, then the rest is just like, all right, what do you have to say? However, remember, just because you look at two names and go, Roosevelt Roberts versus Brock Weaver, okay, man, that ain't Thompson versus Darren Till, for example. No, but Thompson versus Darren Till was not that exciting. And Roberts versus Weaver may break out. That might be fight of the year. That's the beauty of MMA, and that's why you tune in. And technically, the UFC gives us 12 of those, 13 of those per night. So
you're missing biggest component here.
You know, it's likely that you'll see good fights.
Not only are they giving it to you, 12 fights, it's free, dude. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do that day? Mm-hmm. Right? In 12 fights, you're going to find something. There's nothing else to do. But that main event is very, very quality. I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm a big fan of both those guys. I really, really like those guys. But for Tyron Woodley, this fight especially, well, for Gilbert Burns too. I think if Gilbert Burns gets this win, I think he takes that next step in his career. And with Tyron Woodley, I think not only is it important for him to win the fight, it's important how he looks in the fight. Mm-hmm. Because if he goes out there and starches Gilbert Burns, then I think now you talk about throwing his name in the hat as being one of those next guys. He could maybe steal a title shot with something like that. You know, if it's that depth, because Gilbert Burns is a tough fighter. Mm-hmm. If he knocks him out cold, that's a big statement. If he comes out healthy, that's a big statement. If he just kind of cruises by and gets a win, then you just go, all right, well, Tyron's back. He got a win. But I don't know that he could be like, and I'm next for the champ or anything like that. I don't think he has that power to do that. Especially with the way the other guys talk and chirp every 10 seconds on Twitter. So I think it's not only a big fight for him, but the manner in which he wins the fight will be huge. And then if you look at Gilbert Burns, that's a big win, dude. That Tyron Woodley, like, when we talk about GOATs, Tyron's name doesn't get thrown around too much, but he's not that far off from everyone else, but he's definitely in the talks for welterweight. So that's a huge weight. That's a huge win if he wins that fight.
Yeah, the top welterweights ever are GSP, Matt Hughes, Tyron Woodley, Pat Miletich, maybe Robbie Lawler, just because he kind of did it across two little eras there, but I don't know, maybe not. He had a couple title defenses, I think. And Frank Shamrock, I forget if I left anybody out. But anyway, look, when we talked to Abe Kawa this weekend, and you'll soon see that we also talked to Tyron Woodley, basically the same thing was said to them. With Masvidal possibly being used somewhere else, that's Dana. That's what Dana said. Dana said he might have another plan for Masvidal that doesn't include Usman. So if that's the case, then the question right away is, well, who fights Usman? Well, if Woodley can starch Burns, Woodley may get it. He defended the title 4 times. He did get thumped pretty good by Usman. So nobody was clamoring for the immediate rematch. That was over a year ago, by the way. But beating a hot, streaking Gilbert Burns, you never know. Especially if he can just talk a good game on the mic. Especially if he can get the champion to answer back at him. And who's left? Colby Covington. He just fought Usman. It was a great fight. We'd all like to see it again, but it did have a finish. So that might be tough for Covington. Leon Edwards, who I think by matching him up against Woodley earlier in the year, that fight didn't happen. I think that was UFC's way of saying, hey, you got an amazing streak, but you got to be one of the top dogs. So would they just slip him in there? I don't know. Stranger things have happened. But that's that game that Dana White has that he can play. The Edwards card, the Woodley card, the Covington card, and of course, revert back to Masvidal if his other plans fall through. I don't think there's such thing as the GSP card anymore. And I don't think if Burns beats Woodley that Burns can fight Usman. I believe they're teammates, so they're not out there like chirping at each other. But B, I think Edwards is ahead of Burns. Although, it's tough to say, man. I don't know. But that's the fun part. That's that guessing game. Then we got to see who's healthy, who's under contract, who isn't, who's international. You headed to Fight Island, you headed to the Apex. I don't know, but it can be a nightmare sometimes trying to figure these things out.
Didn't GSP, did he just turn 40 like a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
See, man, that's an age where I think you start having those talks and you start hearing things from people. Hey, old man, how's it feel to turn 40? I think those are the type of things that could light a fire under a guy like GSP's ass. And I don't know if you watch him on Instagram or Twitter. That dude's constantly like showing off him staying in shape and him training. I think he's still got one more in him.
He actually just turned 39.
39?
On May 19th. So about, less than a week ago. He's definitely always in shape. But beating Usman isn't as big as beating Woodley. Because Woodley had the 4 title defenses and Woodley was trying to make a case for him being the greatest welterweight of all time. Of course, GSP had 9 title defenses.
But Usman has a win over Covington and one over Woodley. And you would imagine
only got one loss too.
You would imagine that his, outside of those guys, I don't know that there's a lot of guys that pose very many threats for a guy like Usman. He might have a really long reign, so maybe at the moment it wouldn't seem like it'd be the biggest win, but I bet you Usman, over time, will make it look better.
Yeah, you know, in the co-main event, Blagoy Ivanov faces Augusto Sakai. Sakai is 14-1-1. He's got like 4 wins in the UFC. Blagoy Ivanov's fought a really, really good list of fighters, whether it's been in the UFC or outside of the UFC. He's very respected. However, neither guy talks up much of a game. And these two should really be a little bit more of a spotlight fighter, or not a headliner, but just, this should be a bigger deal than it is. Let's see if this Saturday, one of them becomes that. And because the UFC, you know, when you start to shine, they have so much use for you. You can headline fight nights, or they slip you in on a pay-per-view as part of a main card. You just start to matter. You get paid more. I know you can't go out there and just fake it, but I don't know, man. Social media, try something. But I know this, folks, because I rank these guys. And again, there's other people like Mickey Gall made a lot of noise, you know, early on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people knew who he was, but he wasn't really, he hadn't really reached the point where he was beating the top guys. But you thought of Mickey Gall and you said, oh, yeah, he's on the card. Oh, cool, you know. And credit to Mickey Gall. He kind of brought that, you know, did that on his own slowly but surely.
There's only a few people.
Even Jeremy Stephens. People get fired up about Jeremy Stephens, and he deserves it because he's fought for so long. He's got some good wins. But lately, he's got a lot of losses too. His career's not super shiny, but he's the hard-hitting Jeremy Stephens. So get something going, and is all I can say, because you can't fight forever. And yeah,
there's only a few cats that the UFC will do all the legwork for. Can you name some?
What do you mean by that?
Sage Northcutt. Mm-hmm. Paige VanZant. Mm-hmm. Sean O'Malley.
Oh, yeah.
Those are people that don't have to say anything, and the UFC pushed them.
Right.
Right. Sean played along with it, I think, fairly well.
Maybe a little Mackenzie Dern, too.
Mackenzie Dern a little bit, yeah. So there are a few people that can do that, but if you ain't one of those people, then yeah, you gotta make your own smoke.
Now look at Kevin Holland. He just won. And he's already on the card. I like that. You know what I mean? I think that's one way where the UFC goes, okay, this guy's playing ball. He's got Daniel Rodriguez. But remember, he just won in Jacksonville a few weeks ago. Roosevelt Roberts versus Brock Weaver. We said that earlier. And then, of course, Mackenzie Dern is back. And I believe she's back at 115 now. Walk-around weight's much lower. She's actually just leaned out since she had her baby. So we'll see. We'll see how that one goes. And, of course, we mentioned earlier the main event of the prelims is Caitlin Chookagian versus Antonina Shevchenko. Caitlin Chookagian lost to Antonina's younger sister, the champion at 125 pounds in the UFC, which is the flyweights, Valentina Shevchenko, and that was a few months ago. And so this has just that interesting, you know, side plot, I guess. I'm sure Chookagian will want to get a little bit of revenge, or maybe the Shevchenko sisters will just want to say, we went 2-0 against... against the contender there from Mark Henry's gym. Look, that's about all I want to talk about when it comes to that card. I bet you coming out of it, there'll be a star or two. Not a huge star, but there'll be like something really, really important where we'll be like, oh man, cool. So-and-so's back. Big Ben Rothwell, he was back. You know, he got himself a win. Calvin Kattar, hey, he's back. He had lost to Zabit a few months ago as well, back in 2019, and he had that beautiful elbow combo, one on the standing, one on the floor. So that's what I want to see out of one of these fighters. I think what was the big news is Conor McGregor talking about GOAT, greatest of all time, and him being included in it. In fact, he went so far as to rank him. He threw out names like himself, St. Pierre, Jones, and Anderson Silva. I think that's something I would do too if I was going to come up with a list. Those sound like the ones I like. There's also Demetrius Johnson, Habib Nurmagomedov, maybe Daniel Cormier. I don't know. The problem is McGregor doesn't belong with those guys. No disrespect, but those guys had something very, very important, a criteria very important that McGregor didn't have. McGregor had two titles, featherweight and lightweight. He beat two great fighters, especially Jose Aldo, the greatest featherweight at the time. Smashed him in 13 seconds. Then he beat Eddie Alvarez fairly quickly, too. And Alvarez has to command your respect because he's a Bellator champ and a UFC champ. That said, he's not the all-time lightweight king like Aldo was in his division, but still. He went out there, made it look easy. The problem is he didn't defend either belt. Since then, he's lost to Nate Diaz and Habib Nurmagomedov. He's also beaten Nate Diaz and Donald Cerrone. So in the meantime, Anderson Silva, well, no one's broken his record of 16 consecutive wins. He doesn't have as many title defenses as Jones and GSP, but he's up there. I think he tied GSP with 9 or something like that. But remember, he also floated up to light heavyweight from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Forrest and James Irvin, I think.
It's Stephen Bonner, too. Yeah. Stephen Bonner. So he had a couple of those wins. I mean, and he made it look easy at times. He was very, very entertaining. He was awesome, man. He really was. And then I think just age and a little cockiness caught up with him, and that was that. With GSP, he was a little bit more impressive with his record. He finished strong. He won 2 titles. Anderson only won 1, except he had so many decisions that you didn't walk away from the arena going, "I'll never forget this night." With Anderson Silva, you were like, "Holy cow, he kicked him in the face." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He rope-a-doped against the cage. I mean, there was just so many things that he did that were spectacular.
Can I defend him for a second, though?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know what hurts GSP is the way some of the big guys that he fought, the way they went out, doesn't help GSP. So when GSP faced Jake Shields, that was a tough cat. Not a lot of people were finishing him, right? It's not like you could say, "Oh, this guy finished him, and that guy finished him, and that guy." BJ Penn, same thing. Not a lot of guys were finishing BJ Penn. Matt Hughes, same thing. Now, as their careers went by, yeah, they were getting knocked out. They were getting submitted here and there. I think that kind of hurt GSP a little bit. But if you look at the time when he fought those guys, Thiago Alves, like, not very many people were finishing those guys either.
So, the same could be said for Jones. Jones beat Belfort, Sonnen, Mark. Oh, no, sorry, not Mark. Sonnen, Belfort,
Machida, Rampage.
Hua, Rampage, Rashad. At the time, they hold up. But now you'd be like, oof, a couple of those had like some rough endings. The Shogun one's
not that impressive now. But back then, nobody did that to Shogun.
Right.
That was like that, almost like if I stepped in there and faced John Jones. I mean, that was a bad one.
But what John Jones has that no one else does, except Habib, is he's never lost. Yes, we know there's an L hanging there. It's a technical loss to, what's his face, Matt?
Hamill.
Most of us don't hold it against them. It's there, but we don't really hold it against them. But I will stand up and say that it was a pretty illegal foul to me, it looked like.
I thought the TK one, I'm willing to let that one go more than I would the Jones one. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, that fight was going to end anyway, but his foul was pretty 12 clear. To 6.
Yeah. But, again, he's still 26 or 27-1. Habib's 28-0. Habib doesn't have the title defenses. He's only got 2, if I'm not mistaken. Whereas John Jones has 11. He tied DJ. DJ did him in a row. Why aren't we talking about DJ? But DJ also had 3 losses. John Jones has no losses, folks. Mm-hmm. I think John Jones is basically the GOAT. Is, you know, all this talk that we've been doing right now, I think it's him. Now, there's others that'll come in and go, "Hey, I gotta have a chat with you guys. What's that? What's on your mind?" Well, you know, there's this little cloud up there because Jones also was, you know, there's allegations against them for performance enhancing. And Anderson Silva also got one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, GSP, clean as a whistle. DJ, clean as a whistle. Habib, clean as a whistle. The other two, no. But
that's enough for me. I'm one of those guys.
Okay. So, but you don't eliminate them, right? You don't just punt them and say, "That's it. Get out of the conversation."
If this were Mortal Kombat and you said, "Send your best fighter that Earth Realm has," or whatever, it's John Jones. I send him. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about this type of thing, sort of, and it really comes down to one explanation that Daniel Cormier gave me one time. And he just said, everybody has rough nights. It's tough being a champion. There's a lot of stress. And he said, "You don't think I wish I could do things that would take the edge off? And maybe I sleep better that night. Maybe I feel better. I recover better." That's a huge advantage. And mm-hmm. I completely agree. When he broke it down to me that way, I was like, dude, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think it's a Jones. It's, I think it's a two horse race. I think it's Jones and GSP. GSP had two losses, Sarah and Hughes. He avenged them both. In fact, with Hughes, he took it so far as to break the trilogy. DJ lost to Brad Pickett, Henry Cejudo, and Dominic Cruz. Yeah. So he never avenged any of them. He's 1-1 against Cejudo. But the other two, he didn't. Now, granted, the other two were fighting at bantamweight, and he went on to create his own history at flyweight. So you got to give DJ credit. Hey, that guy competed as a bantamweight for many years, in addition to everything he did as a flyweight. Plus, now he's over at ONE Championship. He's their Grand Prix champion, and he's challenging for the flyweight title pretty soon. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm telling you, this is one of the toughest arguments you can get in with people. There's just so many things to look at. I love multiple titles. I love title defenses. Sorry, multiple division titles. In other words, champs. I love title defenses. I love great records. I would prefer there wasn't a USADA flagging or any other type of, you know, any commission that may have caught you in the past. I would prefer that not be there, but like I say, I wouldn't bring up Jones and Silva's name if I didn't think they were some of the greatest. Fedor Emelianenko still gets love. BJ Penn. You know, Dominic Cruz goes, if he hadn't come back to fight Cejudo or Cody Garbrandt, that dude would have a really, really solid case. Now, I'm not saying he would be GOAT, but he basically would have been in the same position as George St. Pierre where, hey, I lost to one guy, Faber. But then I came back and beat him twice. So I won my trilogy. I avenged my loss. I have title defenses in the WEC and UFC. I just didn't have as many as the other guys, but he only had the one loss. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough for Jones to stay undefeated. That's for sure. Let's not forget that. And
there's a couple fights there where you go, I know.
But Santos, still have, at the end of the day, Reyes had him down, I think, 2 rounds nothing, at least. Mm-hmm.
With Dominic, I think what hurts him is that he's kind of like when you talk boxers, you talk about Roy Jones Jr. He was more of an artist. But he wasn't ever destructive. You know, if a couple fights here and there, Mizugaki, right? You could say, all right, it was destruction there. But really, the really big fights, he never, like, destroyed someone. What he did do was pick them apart. Mm-hmm. Roy Jones Jr. was like that. Roy Jones Jr. has more knockouts.
And that's what GSP did, except not in the stand-up, but in the
wrestling.
Yeah, you named Shields and Koscheck and Thiago Alves and Matt Hughes. He beat great welterweight. Fitch, great welterweights in their prime and spanked them. Yeah. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't flashy. It was 50-45, 50-44, whatever, but then you look at the list, you go, man, he fucked people up. So, like I said, man, this is just a conversation that can go on forever. And there is no right, there is no wrong. You know, unless somebody tells you, I am awarding an athlete a title or a trophy or something, and I'd like for you to be a judge, but this is my criteria. And then you go by the criteria. Well, then, of course, some people are going to fall in and fall off, but... Aldo was another guy that reminds me of Anderson Silva. He's just taking some losses lately. So you look at the record, you go, what the fuck? Why is he in that list? But man, at one point, Aldo was awesome. You know, one loss and killing people.
But you have to nitpick when you're doing this.
Yeah,
you absolutely have to. And one thing that's just really important is title defenses. You have to have title defenses. There's like, before when you were a champ, it was like, oh my God, a champ. Now there's so many of them that even that kind of loses its luster a little bit. So then it becomes, well, did you ever defend while you were champ? You know, did you do any of that? So you really have to. I mean, think about it. If Henry Cejudo comes back and wraps up a few. I was just
about to bring him up.
I mean, how do you not talk about him, right? So
he's got a better case than Connor.
You absolutely have to nitpick.
He's champ with two title defenses.
Yeah.
And his names are very impressive. One's DJ. The other one is Dillashaw. And the other one's Cruz. I mean, You got to give him his, too. Speaking of that, the UFC removed Cejudo from the rankings. I saw that, and I was like, what the fuck? And I'll tell you why, because when he retired, I was like, oh, Henry, come on, man. We need you, you know? All right, God bless you. You know, you did well. You got a lady. You know, All right, but man, I'd love to have you still in the sport.
He ruined your Sunday night.
Then Abdelaziz does an interview with TMZ, and he goes, I don't think he's retired. I think my man's coming back. And I was thinking, oh, cool. Sounds right in line with what I'm thinking, you know, that he's just maybe looking for an extra zero on the paycheck. But then the UFC removed him from the bantamweight rankings. We got a Sanhagen versus Sterling matchup. I don't know if there's something else that's maybe up the pipeline or what, but that kind of sucks. Does that mean they officially stripped him? No, right? They just removed him from the rankings. Mm-hmm. And he's already officially retired. So it's not like we're waiting for some press conference or anything. What does that mean? I don't know how to interpret this.
I think it's just negotiation tactics. I really do. I don't see a guy like Henry Cejudo walking away. I could see him walking away for a little bit, but not forever. And even then, I don't see him being gone more than 9 months, a year maybe at the most.
I agree.
He's been through too much to build who he is right now to walk away from it. I get it. He wants to get paid. But I don't see it. I think they'll figure something out.
Break down this fight for me. Luana Carolina versus Ariane Lipsky, scheduled for June. I'm just kidding. That's just the fight booking there, folks. They're not top five or top 10. Just wanted to give Goz a quick panic. Tito Ortiz versus Mike Tyson. Break that one down. Is it boxing and is it MMA? I mean, he says he's interested, but who's interested in what? I mean, we could break it down easy. If it's MMA, Tito will fuck him up. If it's in boxing, Tyson will fuck him up. You think Tyson... He's 53, Goz. Well, I mean, Tito's a spring chicken, but...
But that's his only... Even if he was 34... He's still only going to rely on a big power punch, right? And people have hit Tito before. Now, granted, Tito's going to shoot right away.
Right away.
But what's Tyson's best punch?
Uppercut.
And what would you probably try and hit a wrestler with if they shot on you?
That or knee.
Yeah.
Or
I guess, so, I mean, yeah. He's probably got a little bit of a better chance than
I think he's
going to
do that low single from the outside.
Like Randy Couture. Randy Couture. Ankle pick.
Uh-huh.
But if this were boxing, I mean, come on, let's keep it real. When Dana and Tito were on the verge of boxing, Tito kind of walked away from that. That's Dana White. That's Mike Tyson. Come on. Who the hell wants to box Mike Tyson?
And Mike Tyson doesn't want to come back for MMA money. He wants to come back for boxing money.
I wouldn't even box him with those big Magic Mountain gloves.
Hell no. No. Yeah, it's not. Anyway, I don't know. Look, folks. There's a lot of news here, all right? Charles Jourdain versus Andre Feely, Maurice Greene versus John Volante. Remember, John Volante was moving up to heavyweight to fight Big Ben Rothwell, and he pulled out. Big Ben Rothwell continued. Shout out to Brian Caraway. He lost his mother, and Junkie was kind enough to do a story on request for donations for the mother's funeral costs. We did an interview with Brian Caraway, and he just had a rough go of it. Fights falling off. I think he actually had a fight, Goz, and didn't get paid. Remember that one, that story?
Yeah, that sucked.
You know,
I think it was like, well, I don't want to say the amount.
If you got it, then help out. I mean, $20 helps out, you know, if you got it. I know everybody's in tough times, so I'm not telling you, and I'm not making you feel guilty if you don't have it, but if you got it, help out. Frank Camacho versus Matt Frivola, Steamroller. Jessica I versus Cynthia Calvillo. So these fight cards are matching up. Let's end with this. Oh, Poirier versus Hooker. Really, really good one. I think Mike Bond could have been a little kinder. He writes skidding Tisha Torres versus Brianna Van Buren. I'm just poking fun at Mike Bond.
But you know what? Sometimes little things like that, I've heard fighters say, and I read that, and that fueled me. I slammed down my iPad. And
skidding. Like, everything is just amazing. Look at this. Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. Jessica I versus Cynthia Calvillo. I mean, we didn't write Jessica I trying to shake off that pummeling, you know, courtesy of... Well, I mean, she won her last fight, but I guess I was going back to Valentina. But that little skidding Tisha Torres, I think she's lost 4 in a row, maybe even 5. I like Tisha, man. Like, she quietly just gets shit done in her life. A lot of people don't know this, but she's got a master's degree and everything. So we'll see. Hopefully that little word skidding doesn't bother her. What I wanted to end with was Mike Perry says he's done with coaches goes. He's only, well, only his girlfriend's going to corner him in his next fight.
Because that's a recipe that's worked for everyone, right? At some point, I mean, man, I get mad just like everyone else, and I say stupid things too, but come on.
He's 13-6 overall, but he's 6-6 in the UFC. He's polarizing. I think he could have in the a future in the UFC if he just went win one, lose one, or win two, lose one. I think he could have like a Stevens, Jeremy Stevens type of career where he's just a tough out, a tough customer. You know what I mean? But because he's polarizing and every once in a while he says the wrong thing, he's just a bad boy, I think he could hang around. But guess what, man? If you're not really even trying, that's not a good look. That's not a good look to lose fights, be controversial, and also just not be affiliated with someone out there. We just don't have any more barroom brawlers as part of the roster. And let me tell you something. We've had him on the show a couple times. I believe we've had fun interactions with him. But, man, when I saw him at Red Rock Goes, I wanted to say hello to him because I never really talked to him in person. But he had this mean game face on. And not that I thought he was going to slug me or nothing like that. But you just looked at him and you go, I'm not ready for him. You know, you know, sometimes you look at someone and you go, I'm going to go say hi or whatever. Him, I looked at and I go, oh, boy. You know, like he already had just this mean, menacing look. I don't know if he was up to here with interviews or if that's just the face he wakes up with or what, but I was like, I'll talk to him on another occasion. But yeah, man, do you think he's gonna regret that? You think he's actually gonna bring a coach?
I think he'll bring somebody at the end of this. There was it Jonathan Brookings one time that just let a fan corner him? Do you remember that?
It's kind of sad, isn't it? At the UFC level, that shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't.
I would grab anybody from that's helping somebody warm up and go, bro, it's got to be you, I mean, or something. I just can't grab a fan or have no one. Mm-hmm. That's just...
Well, you have to pass the test.
I feel like one
too,
day
though, right?
When I'm in corporate America or somewhere and somebody goes, what'd you used to do? I used to be a fighter. No shit. Yeah. Check out my fight. Hey, how come they're making a big deal out of the fact you had no coaches? You know, they're probably thinking like, you got to screw loose, pal. Bring a coach. Bring two. I don't know. All right. We're going to bow out of here. Again, enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And again, everybody's got social media. I think everybody can take the time to honor those that have died as a consequence of protecting that flag and, you know, keeping the freedoms that we have in this great country of ours that I know at times there's a lot of frustrations, but take a step back and realize just how lucky we are. Ghost said something to me the other day or earlier today, just you take a lot of what happens in this country for granted and you'll see it when you travel abroad. And that's not to demean other countries, just other countries have other styles, other ways of conducting themselves. But it's been an eye-opening experience, right, Coz?
Hell yeah, it has. I mean, just little thing. Man, I had a chicken go into the middle of my shower one time. That would never happen here. Yeah. If I told somebody, if they go, how are you doing? I went, a chicken went in my shower. They go, how? That was a normal thing, and it happened to me overseas.
In your cold shower, right?
In my cold-ass shower.
Yeah.
Outdoors.
So, folks, yeah, what can I tell you? Don't be that guy. Yeah, just that. Don't be that guy. You know who I'm talking about? The Costco guy. Put the fucking mask on, man, or whatever. You know what I mean? Don't threaten with your 3,000 Instagram followers or whatever. Just make that guy's life easier. Make your life easier. Has nothing to do with your rights being infringed upon. They told you to wear a seatbelt years ago.
Be nice.
King Mo gave me that one. You know, there's so many.
The last thing when
HIV came around, hey, look, like stop going raw dog. You know, you gotta. I know it feels better, but condoms is the way. You know. All right, we got to wear more of those. But for now, yeah, just be safe out there, folks. Be safe and go out there and be a champion.